the organizers for the invitation. The work that I present today is joint work with David Landriot, Etienne Marceau, and Kuzema Mutanabir. The work that I present today has been inspired from a paper by Toussaint Albrechtsaer in De Nuit that was published in the Geneva Papers in 2010. In their paper, they look at dynamic risk measures which are motivated by room theory. More precisely, they look at VAR time risk measures, which are based on the infinite time room probability, so a tool that can be used to determine the required initial surplus. The link between these risk measures and the infinite time room probability is made through the maximum aggregate loss random variable, which can be expressed as the room probability can be expressed as the survival function of this random variable. So it's these ideas that have led us to the talk that we'll have today on the analysis of the distribution of discounted maximum aggregate loss within the Sperrin-Dussin risk model. So the content of my talk, I'll briefly recall the Sperrin-Dussin model, so the definitions, notations, etc., assumptions. Then we will derive the moments of the discounted sum of ascending ladder heights over finite time and infinite time. Then we look at two special cases, the compound Poisson model and the Sperrin-Dussin model with exponential claim amounts. Then with the moments that we have obtained, we will look at the moment-based approximation to be able to have an approximation of the distribution of our discounted sum so that we are able to evaluate our risk measures for risk assessment. So let's begin with the Sperrin-Dussin model. So we denote by N the claim number process. The interclaim times random variables are denoted by WJ. So they form a sequence of IAD random variables. We will denote by K the PDF and CDF. And for the Laplace transform, we just add a tilde over. For the claim amount random variables, we denote it by xj. So again, they form a sequence of IID positive random variables. PDF and CDF are denoted by p, and the mean of the claim amount is denoted by mu. So for xj, the random variable wj, so the interclaim time j, and the claim amount xj are independent. So the time between claims and claim amounts are independent. We'll denote by S the aggregate claim amount process. So S over a period 0t is equal to the random sum of the individual claims xi from I equals 1 to the number of claims that occur in that period. We also denote the surplus process associated to our portfolio by U. So U of t is equal to the initial surplus plus all the claims, all the premiums that are received during the period at a constant rate c, minus all the claims that have occurred. We denote by tau the time to ruin, so the first time our surplus process goes below zero. For the deficit at ruin, which we'll use quite often, we denote it by the absolute value of u of tau, and the surplus just prior to ruin is written as u tau minus. Some results that have been obtained for the expected discounted penalty function, so the Gerber-Scher function, will be used for us to determine the expression for the moments of our discounted sum. So now we must define the net aggregate loss process, which will be used in the expression of the maximum aggregate loss. So we denote the net aggregate loss process by Y. So y of t is equal to all the claims that have occurred in the period minus all the premiums that have been received. We'll denote by nu I the sequence of ascending ladder epochs that are associated to our loss process y, so that nu 1 is the smallest t for which our process y goes above 0. For a nu I, so it will be the smallest t which is above nu I minus 1, for which the difference between the net aggregate loss process was evaluated at t and the one evaluated at the ladder epoch just before, so nu I minus 1, is above 0. We will denote by gamma I the duration of the ES ladder epoch, so the difference between nu I and nu I minus 1, and its corresponding ladder height, so the record, will be denoted by Li. So Li is the difference between the net aggregate loss process at nu I and the net aggregate loss process at nu I minus 1. The number of ladder epochs that will occur will be denoted by the random variable M. And the couples gamma I, the duration, and the records, the LI, the ladder heights, they form a sequence of IID random pairs, and they are distributed as the couple, the time to run, and the deficit at run when we have an initial surplus of 0. So we will use that to derive the expression for our moments. Let's just look at a sample path of the net aggregate loss process. So here we begin, we receive premiums at a constant rate C. Then there's a first claim that occurs and it's X1, but that does not bring the net aggregate loss process above 0. So again, we receive other premiums, and then we have a second claim amount, which for the first time will bring the net aggregate loss process above the level 0. So nu I is the time that the first time that our process goes above 0, and the height of the record, this is our ladder height L1, so the amount by which our process goes above 0. Then again, we will have premiums that are received, another loss, but the process does not go above the level that we have reached when we were at nu1. And then we have another claim here, which will bring another time the net aggregate loss process above 0, but above the level that we had reached the first time at nu1. So the sum of aggregating ladder heights, so the L1 plus L2, etc., will be used to derive the moments of the random variable that we're interested in. So we sum all these L's to derive the moments. So we'll denote the maximum net aggregate loss process by Z. So this is what we want to find moments for. So Z of T is the biggest point of our net aggregate loss process Y between 0 and T. So in the Sperrin-Nielsen model, if you let T tend to infinity, then this random variable follows a compound geometric distribution where the probability mass function of M, so the number of ladder epochs that have occurred in the period, is written in function of the real probability at 0, sorry. As for the real probability with an initial surplus of U, it can be written, as I said at the beginning, as the survival function of our random variable Z. So this is with this link that we will be able to evaluate our risk measures. So we have this first definition for the maximum aggregate loss, but we will use an alternative definition to obtain our moments. So we write Z of T as a random sum of what we have shown in the graph of the LI, so the heights of the records, from I equals 1 to the number of records that we observe in our period. So we will want to obtain the moment of this random variable for which we will propose a discounted version, and we are able to find any moment of this random variable. So we propose a discounted maximum aggregate loss random variable, so a discounted version of what I've just shown. So we just sum the we just sum the ladder heights, but we discount them at a constant force of interest delta. A nice interpretation of Z delta is if you assume that at the time of the ES ascending ladder epoch of Y, so nu I, a random amount of capital denoted by LI is injected in the insurance portfolio. So then Z delta represents this discounted sum of all the capital injections that are made at a constant force of interest. In risk theory, Z delta can be viewed as the discounted aggregate loss, where the interclaim times and claim sizes are distributed as an arbitrary gamma I, so the duration, and the ladder height, so the LI. In our context, the pairs are mutually independent, but the duration gamma I and LI are in general not independent. So this departs from the usual assumption in risk theory when the analysis of the aggregate loss has been usually done. So we want to obtain the moments of Z delta. So we begin here in this section by looking at the infinite time, the finite time on 0t, and then we will look at the expression of the moments over an infinite horizon. So to obtain the moments of our random variable Z delta, we first condition on the time and amount of the first capital injection, and then we take the nth derivative with respect to S on both sides, let 10 S to 0, and we have this expression for the nth moment. We denote by, we denote by M the nth moment. So we are interested in finding an expression for the function that we denote by M delta. So what we'll do is we'll take the Laplace transform on both sides. So we know the Laplace transform by M delta. So we find this expression for the Laplace transform. And when delta is above zero, this is equivalent to this expression. So to be able to find our moments, we must find this expectation at the numerator here. So, but this expectation, you see, is in terms of the discounted moments of the deficit at room, which is a quantity that is known in the different models. So this expression has been studied previously with the Gerber-Schur discounted penalty function. So we see that we are able to obtain a recursive expression for the moments if we are able to invert the Laplace transform. So now, put aside the finite time horizon, we have the key, which is the Laplace transform. Now let's just look at the infinite time horizon. With the final value theorem, so when z tends to zero, if you take the limit of z multiplied by the Laplace transform of our function m, then you obtain the nth moment. So we multiply both sides by z, and we take the limit when z tends to zero, and we obtain this expression for our nth moment over an infinite time horizon. So we're able to have a recursive evaluation of the moment as long as we can have, we're able to have a closed form expression for the discounted moments of the deficit at room when the initial surplus is zero, which I had said at the beginning. So now let's go back to the finite time case. I've said before that our key element was the Laplace transform. So this is the expression that we have obtained. What we want to do here is to look at two special cases, try to obtain the Laplace transform, and with that, derive the moments of Z delta. The two special cases that we will look at, the compound Poisson model, we look at it in general. So W, the integral time, fixed exponential, and we do not specify the claim amount. Then we add an assumption that the claim amount follows a mixture line distribution, and we find an explicit expression for our moments. Then we look at the Sperr-Anderson model with exponential claim amounts, so without specifying any distribution for the interclaim times, and then we make an additional assumption of mixture line for the interclaim times. So let's begin with the compound Poisson risk model. So discounted moments of the deficit at Run has been studied previously within the classical compound Poisson risk model. So we use the approach and results that have been obtained under this model to derive the moments that we're looking for. So the first thing we have shown is that this expression, which is, was involved in the Laplace transform, can be written as the integral of a function that we denote by GL. So this will be our key function, which is written here in function of another function, which we denote by FL. This function FL, to obtain it, we must have the Lth moment of the residual lifetime density. This is the survival function of our claim amount. And here we have the equilibrium distribution. Now, in the exponent, we didn't have delta, but we had z plus n delta. So we replace delta by z plus n delta, and we obtain this expression, which leads to this Laplace transform for our function m. So to obtain the moments, instead of inverting directly this function, we will look at a functional that we denote by phi, and we will look at the moments through this functional from its Laplace transform, which is equal to z multiplied by the Laplace transform of m. So then our moments m delta will only be the integral of this functional phi. So we multiply both sides of the equation that I had given before for the Laplace transform by z, which leads to this Laplace transform of our functional phi. And by the uniqueness property of the Laplace transform, we obtain the functional phi n delta, which leads us to the moments that we're looking for. Now we make an additional assumption. So we want our, we're still in the compound Poisson model, but we assume that our claim amounts are now mixed line. So we had to go back to the expression of our Laplace transform, so of our function g, our function f, and our mean mu lt plus the survival function of the claim amounts, and try to see what kind of distribution we had for these quantities. So we're able to show that this quantity, if we assume mixed Erlangs for the claim amounts, this quantity is also mixed Erlang. It goes the same thing for the function fl and the function g, and also for our functional phi. So with that, we were able to express the function phi as this sum of PDF of Erlang distribution of order j, and the weight here, the xi, I do not give the expression here, but we are able to find a recursive relation to obtain the weights that goes with every Erlang distribution. So with this functional written this way, we're able to find a closed form expression for the nth moment of z delta. So we're able to find an expression for any moment of z delta in this case. The second type of model that we wanted to look at is the Sperrin-Nielsen-Rist model, in which we assume that the claim amounts are exponential. When we have this assumption for the claim amounts, then the time of the first capital injection, which is our gamma 1, and also the size of the record L1 are independent. So this helps us when we want to find the first expectation that had shown when we're in the infinite time and in the compound Poisson model. This simplifies to this expression. So wearable, it was easier to obtain the expression for the nth moment, which has this form. So it's function of a function that we denote by big R, which is the integral of a function R. And this function R is function of a function H. So we have our general expression for the Sperrin-Nielsen model with exponential claims for our moment. The next thing we wanted to do is to assume that we had interclaim times that were exponentially distributed. And we're able to show that if we assume that our interclaim times are Erlang, then our function h, which is in m, is also mixed Erlang, and the function r, which we integrate to obtain the capital R, is also mixed Erlang with this form. So we obtain this expression for the nth moment of z delta. So the first thing we want to do is to be able to obtain the expression for the moments, which we have done. But then I've talked about risk measures at the beginning of my talk. So we want to go further within the analysis of Z delta and try to approximate its distribution to be able to evaluate the risk measures. So to, we will look at an approximation method, which will be based on our moments, to approximate the random variable Z delta. Here, I just recall that the random variable z delta, we had seen that it can be written as a random sum when m is above 0, and also equal to 0 if no ladder heights occur. So we here we have a distribution for z delta that has a mass at 0. So to be able to approximate the distribution of z delta, we will approximate the distribution of the random variable y delta. So here, phi 0t is the room probability in the interval 0t with an initial surplus of 0. So we'll need that for our approximation of the distribution of z delta. And the distribution of y delta will be given such that the moments of y delta are function of the quantity that we have just obtained previously and of the room probability. So what we want to do is to provide a moment matching method to approximate the distribution of our random variable here, y delta, given all the elements and quantities that we had obtained previously. As you all know, moment matching techniques is a well-known research topic. Different approaches have been proposed. Here, the kind of approach that we have been looking at, so here it's a work in progress, so this is not a work that is all done. What we have begun with is to approximate the unknown distribution with a mixture of known distributions. So for example, Johnson and Taff have proposed a moment matching method, which is based on a finite mixture of Erlang distribution, for which we have different scale parameters, but identical shape parameters. Another example is Stellman and Witt, which is based on a finite mixture of exponentials. Here, the technique that we propose is based on the densiness of the mixed Erlang class of distribution, and we propose a finite mixture of Erlang distribution, but with here identical scale parameters, but different shape parameters. So we will approximate our random variable wild delta by a mixed Erlang random variable that we denote by y tilde. So y tilde is a random sum of exponentially distributed random variables that we denote by ck. So y tilde is a random sum from k equals 1 to k, capital K is a discrete random variable that is defined on n plus, and the masses will be denoted by zeta k. So if we write the CDF of our mixed Erlang random variable, it is written this way. So finding the distribution of y delta is equivalent to finding the zk, which correspond to the masses of our discrete random variable k. So how do we find zeta k? Well, we assume that our discrete random variable k is part of a finite set from 1 to n, and it is defined such that the moment of random variable y delta, all the moments are equal for the mixed Erlang random variable for a certain number of moments that we will choose, and the number of moments that we want to match, we denote it by m0 here. So since k is element in a set, in a finite set, then it means that since the approximation of the random variable distribution of y delta is the sum of the zeta k's and the mixed Erlang, we will have an approximation that is based on a finite mixture of Erlang distributions, and we have to find zeta k's that are solution to this system of equations. So we equate all the moments, and the sum of all our weights or masses must be equal to 1. So just look at an example when the number of moments that we want to match is 2. So if m0 is equal to 2, then we have this system of equation which has an infinite number of solutions. But however, it has a finite number of solutions with m0 plus 1 atoms that satisfy the system of m0 plus 1 equations. So we'll denote by A the space of discrete distributions for k, such that the moment constraints that we have just given are verified. And we must fix beta. This is still work that must be done on how to fix that beta. We have some inequalities, but we're still working on that part. And m0 fixed, so the number of moments that we want to be matched. We fix them, and n must be chosen large enough. So n is determines the set of values that the discrete random variable can take from 1 to n. So n must be chosen large enough to ensure that we have a solution in the set A for our zeta case. How do we choose that we will have a certain number of solutions to that system for which it works? How do we choose the ones, the one among all the set, the ones that are solutions to our system? Well, we choose the one for which the next moment is the closest one to the real moment. So if we have, like previously, m0 equal to 2, then we will compare the third moment to see which one is the closest, and this is the one among all the solutions that we will choose. So we've made a numerical example. So we assume that interclaim times and claim sizes are exponentially distributed with mean 1. We have a premium rate of 1.2 and a force of interest of 4%. We have just begun by looking at the first 6 moments of our random variable z delta at different intervals, so t equals from 10, 50, 100, and 200. And first observation, as t becomes large, we see that our moments converge. Then just recall the expression for the moment of y delta. So we had to obtain the room probability at 0. So we have obtained this quantity with Monte Carlo simulations. And then we apply our approximation for a time horizon of t equals to 200, and we have chosen nn, which is equal to 10. So just for convenience, we will note the masses by rho. So rho k is equal to the power t, that k is equal to k. So what are the solutions that we have obtained if you want to match the first m0 moment? So we have chosen 2 moments, 3 moments, and 4 moments. So if you look at when you want to match 3 moments, then you have k equal to 1, k equal to 3, k equal to 5, and k equal to 6, which are our 4 atoms. And we had chosen a beta that is equal to 0.75. So if we want to look at the approximation that we obtained, so we compare the approximation with the mixed line to the empirical CDF that we have obtained of Z-delta with 10 million Monte Carlo simulations. So if we choose to match 2 moments, so we have 2 moments, we have 3 atoms. If you look graphically, this is the comparison of the approximation and the empirical CDF. If we have 3 moments, so 4 atoms, again, looks pretty good. And if we have 4 moments, 5 atoms, again, the approximation looks good. To have a more precise idea of how it looks at the end of the tail, we have computed dvar and tvar and compare the one with the mixed line approximation and the one with the CDF. So if we compare just the var when t is equal to 200, so with simulation, we obtain this number. And when we match 4 moments, we have this number for the var at kappa is equal to 95%. And this for kappa is 99%, and then kappa at 99.5. We have done the same thing for the tvar. And these are the results we obtained with the simulation. And these are the results here when we match 4 moments. So they get better here than we have with only 2 moments. So with 4 moments match, we see that the var and the tvar compare very well with the simulated counterparts. So just to conclude, what we have talked about, well, I've insisted at the beginning with the paper by Truffin, Altrachar, and Denis on the importance to study the behavior of Z for capital assessment, so when we wanted to evaluate our risk measures. Then we have extended the random variable Z to a discounted version, and we have been able to derive any moment of the random variable Z delta over a finite time and over an infinite time. Then we have looked more closely at 2 special cases, the compound Poisson and the Sterndissen model when we have exponential claim amounts. And then I've talked about the work that we are doing right now, the moment matching approximation, which has led to the approximation of the var and the tvar of these quantities. Thank you.